Hey Potters, welcome to episode 159 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. My name is Valerie, and my cohort Amber is not here, unfortunately. Some things came up, and we couldn't get a proper recording of our last episode done, so that's going to be moved to another week. Not to worry, you'll still see the content, it'll just be a little bit later. We did get the chance to record an after session, though, and we're still going to go ahead and play the full version of that, which you can watch on YouTube. So for those of you who are watching this particular episode through the feed or through iTunes, just head over to our YouTube page, user/cosplaypodcast, and you'll find the after session. And it fits really well with a lot of current convention news that we didn't want to shelve that too. So it'll still keep on rolling. But instead, you've got me. Congratulations. You get to suffer with me for the next 30 minutes. So hopefully everybody's doing really well. It's only, the third week into the new year, and it already feels like it's, you know, June, July for us. We're constantly running around being busy. Current cosplay updates is we've got all of our stuff finalized for AllCon. So now we can actually go out and seek helpers and hopefully get some nice prizes involved. Got our dates and our time set up. We're really happy that our contest has been bumped to Saturday. Yay! I'm really excited for that because it gives us the opportunity to do some proper prejudging. So we'll actually have a good dedicated hour and a half for prejudging and really emphasize the craftsmanship portion of the contest, because we really haven't had the opportunity to do that in the past. We always just kind of had this small window on Friday. And there's not a whole lot you can do in that time. You just kind of have to get people in, you know, quick second with the judges and okay, onto the stage, done. So that's something I'm looking forward to. But also, I'm hoping that we'll get way more entries because it's Saturday. That means people are less likely to be at work, less likely to be at school. Saturday's typically the busiest day at any convention. So I'm just keeping my fingers crossed, hoping for the best. I hope we get a lot of entries, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. By the way, if you guys can think of any fun cosplay prizes that would be appropriate for us to try and get, maybe if there's some sponsorships that we could try to reach out to and get some new donations in, feel free to drop us a line, because we're always looking for new fun ideas to give out as prizes. We can only do so many of the same things before it's like, okay, let's get something new. What's this something new? I don't know. So yeah. Really, really, really looking forward to that. And eventually I'll have to start making all of the marketing material that'll go with it. Yay. I don't do that enough in my day job. Lucky me. And the only other cosplay updates that I have is my personal work, which I shuffled over here to the side for no reason whatsoever. I was not very prepared. Sorry. Really, the only update that I have is I've just been beading a lot. So much of it. As I mentioned last time, I've finished at least one sleeve on my Game of Thrones costume. I'm steadily working on the second sleeve, and as you can see, there's still so much left to go. And this is just the sleeve. This is not any of the embroidery on the garment itself. And that's, there are three or four birds along with some interesting swirly patterns and some weird textures. And it's just, I don't know why I picked this costume. I have many regrets. It'll be beautiful when it's done, but I have many regrets. So this is my life still. Still. And it'll probably be my life for the next couple of months. But I've also managed to get some supplies for an upcoming project that I have, which is going to involve a lot of stuffing. I will talk more about this later because I want to show off a picture of what the heck I'm doing and put all the materials together with said photo. Because it's an odd commission that I picked up, but I'm kind of enjoying the challenge of it. But it required me to get a lot of unusual materials in order to make this thing occur. So yeah, that'll be a fun project. I will talk about it on the show probably next time or the time after that and show off all the funness that goes with it. But really, that's all I have for cosplay updates on myself. And I know Amber is steadily taking a break from a couple of things, but she is working ever closer to making her Zelda costume a reality. I don't know if she's gotten all of her materials yet or if she's still looking for some of the fabric pieces, but I know that she was working on the patterning portion of it and adjusting the fit of everything to make sure it works for her and all that business. So there you go. Cosplay updates. So since I talked about the two bags of polyfill that I have purchased, it's kind of how I came up with today's topic, which is how to know what materials to use for your cosplay. Because even though I've been doing this for almost 10 years, there are still moments where I have to sit down and plan out exactly what I'm going to purchase and how it's going to work into my costume. And it can make a big difference on what you purchase, because many times, I mean, if you get the wrong fabric or if you get the wrong thermoplastic for your armor or for your props, it can affect the full outfit. And you may realize later on, oh, this didn't work very well. I should have just gone with this, or I should have done with that. So taking the time to really sit down, plan out what you want to purchase, why you're purchasing it, and how much to purchase it can really help you with your cosplay progress. Also helps with your budget too, because I think that way you have much more realistic expectations of what your costume is going to cost versus just throwing money at it and hoping for the best. Because I know a lot of people who do that with Warbla in particular, but Warbla is not exactly like the end-all be-all material. There are plenty of other alternatives out there that don't require you to spend that $90 on a sheet of Warbla, and you'll get the exact same outcome, maybe sometimes even better, because you don't have to worry about, you know, the heat messing up the Warbla, especially if you're in Texas. Hey-o, because that's not a thing here. You know, if you need something that's a little bit more flexible while still having some durability, you know, foam is a fabulous option. That's way, way cheaper, may take you longer to get what you need done, but you can still get the same results. So that's part of knowing what materials to use for your costume, and understanding what you need can help you build a better costume. So how do you determine what to make your costume out of? And the first thing that I would recommend is get as many reference photos of the character that you're making as possible. I know this is a lot, very, very difficult for anything made in the 80s and 90s, or even earlier than that, because our references are very, very few. I have done a number of art book versions of things where you get one image and it's usually like the front or like a three-quarter shot, and this is all you get. And you have to kind of imagine what the back looks like, you know, what are the designs, what are the details? So you can only do so much with it, but if you're doing anything that was made from like the 2000s and onward, thankfully reference shots can be found anywhere online, or, you know, you can play a video game, pause every couple of seconds, take a screenshot, do what you need to do. Because the more details that you know about the costume, the easier it will be for you to plan. Because you may not realize till halfway down the road, you know, oh, this thing on the sleeve, I didn't see it before, but now I see it. And it may cause you to have to remake that entire portion of the costume, causing you to do more money, spend that out the window. And you may have to get more materials that you didn't think you needed beforehand, and it could change how your costume comes together. So getting all those reference photos as much as possible and just kind of ball it all together, it'll give you a much better idea of what you need to buy for this costume. One of my favorite things to do is, especially with Star Wars costumes, and I've been seeing this a lot more with Disney costumes, which is really brilliant. I don't know why I didn't do this sooner, is I like to buy the action figures or the dolls, like especially with the Queen Amidala dolls, because they're pretty darn close to the movie replicas. I mean, yeah, there are a couple things that are off here and there, and you have to kind of compare and contrast with, you know, still shots from the film. But it gives you a much better 360 view of what to expect. And the dolls are actually pretty cheap. You don't have to spend an arm and a leg for it. Or even better, you can go to places like Flickr and you'll find just thousands upon thousands of portfolios where it's just nothing but the dolls from every view possible. I found this one site that has the Snow White costume that I want to make. And it's based off of the 2017 D23 exclusive doll. It's very specific, but it's really ornate. And I love how it very much replicates her original Germanic design. But the photographer did a fantastic job of just getting very detailed photographs of every single portion of this doll. So I know exactly how this thing is supposed to look from every single angle. And it was so much easier for me to plan out all of my materials because I had everything I needed right then and there from those photos. It was perfect. Allie makes a very good point. If others have done the costume, look at what they have used too. That's also a good point. I didn't have that on my list. Especially with popular characters, like I know, like Legend of Zelda, you can get references out the wazoo just by looking at other cosplayers. There are so many cosplayers for Zelda content. It is very easy to see what they did, how they made it, and then replicate what they did. And it just makes it so much simpler. Same thing with Sailor Moon. Tons of references for Sailor Moon out there. Even in my debacle of trying to find a good colored blue wig for my Sailor Mercury, it was still very easy for me to make and pull the rest of the costume together because tutorials are everywhere. It was just literally Google, search, this is a tutorial I need. Done. So much easier that way. Okay, so the next thing for determining your materials, I recommend that you think about the character and their actions and their personality. You know, is he or she an outdoorsy person? You know, is this person royalty? You know, is he a fun and playful character or is she dark and serious? Your character's personality will reflect what materials they wear. Especially if they're of a higher class or a royal figure, they're going to wear finer things. So, you know, silks, for example. They're not likely going to wear cottons or linens. It doesn't make sense for their status in life. Whereas if you do a Legend of Zelda, you can get away with the linens and cottons and the leather because that makes sense. Link is the hero and he's running around stabbing things in the forest. He needs to wear things that are functional and comfortable, you know, and that can transition to multiple states of weather without it affecting him. So it definitely helps to think about who your character is and what type of materials they're more likely to wear. For all of my Queen Amidala hoopla that I have in my closets, a lot of it is velvet and silks and shantungs, which are much more expensive than most normal materials, but it makes sense. She's royalty. She's a leader. She needs to look like the part of a leader. She's not going to be wearing cottons. And, you know, and vice versa with a lot of my Final Fantasy costumes, I'm allowed to kind of mix and match with those pieces. So because they're very ornate and unique, I can go between like the cottons and the spandexes and the satins, and it all works together because a mono, you can make magic happen that way. Or the same thing as like a schoolgirl outfit. A lot of those are done with like cottons. Pretty straightforward. You don't have to use fancy materials for those. On the flip side, when you think of like idol costumes have a lot of the same sewing techniques as a schoolgirl outfit, but they use much fancier fabrics like satin. The whole point of that is so they can shine from the stage. What's the, you know, if you want to breathe that bright spot on that stage, put on satin. Light will hit all over you and you will be the beacon of everything. So it is really important to think about who your character is and what their personality is like. And through that, it'll reflect what type of materials that they are likely to wear. On that same train of thought, you also need to think about what the character is currently wearing. You know, are they wearing a ball gown and this or suit? Or are they doing that schoolgirl outfit? Because even in that aspect, you know, if you, let's take, I don't know, Princess Peach. I think she's had enough outfits through enough Mario games over the years that I can make this work. You know, Princess Peach, most of us know her in that ball gown outfit, which means finer fabrics. You want to go with the satin, something really nice and shiny and powerful and pretty. But then you go to like Mario Kart mode where she's in that racing uniform. Can't really do a racing uniform and satin. It makes sense to no one and it's really uncomfortable. It won't stretch with her. Therefore, it won't stretch with you. For something like that, you need to think about, okay, what's a nice stretchy material that kind of looks racer-esque without having to spend, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars on making it happen? Spandex is a good alternative there. It's form-fitting, it's comfortable, it works. You have multiple varieties of it, you know, shiny, not shiny, matte, everything in between. And you can kind of get that feel for that racing look without having to spend gobs of money on it. So that's really important too, because you can't really use that same spandex to make the ball gown. Doesn't work, doesn't fit. You're not going to get the right shape. It's going to look funky. Seen people try to use leather on ball gowns and it's just like, ooh, those two do not work together. Leather is meant to be more of a rugged outdoorsy material. It's meant to be rough and tumble and try to keep you warm. It's not really meant to go on a fancy garment. So it's just as important to think about the character's personality as well as what the heck are they wearing? Because you can't really use the same materials for everything that that character is wearing. Doesn't work that way. You also have to think about the practicality of where you live, because that's a real thing, especially if you live in the extreme north or the extreme south and you're not in a nice, easygoing midsection of the world where the temperature is the same for most of the year, like California. Especially for us in Texas, we have to keep in mind that we get extreme heats and extreme colds. And it sometimes happens within the span of like a week. So our choices for materials, not just in fabrics, but as well as like for our armor and our props, we have to be cognizant of the fact that there are going to be days when it's going to be 102 outside. And then there are going to be days where it's 32 outside. So you have to plan for materials that will work in both extreme conditions. And in those 102 days, it is very possible for stuff to start melting. And in those 32 degree days, it's very possible for some things to start freezing and snapping and breaking. But it's the same thing with fabrics too. I mean, if it's 32 degrees outside, yeah, the full velvet coat makes complete sense. No problem there. The full velvet coat in 102 degree weather? No, that's a no-go. Don't. It is not worth it. So it is, you have to think about the practicality of everything. And sometimes that also means like maybe taking it a step down from using the nicer materials to work within your region. There have been a number of times where instead of using velvet, I've often chose to go with velveteen, which typically has a nice cotton backing and allows me to breathe a little bit more with the garment. It's not as heavy as velvet and it looks very similar. I mean, yeah, there are some slight differences with it, but I think it's so much nicer to work with and it makes sense, especially here for us in Texas. And it's something that I can use throughout the year without feeling overheated in it. Now, granted, that's within reason. If I use it like for a cape or a cloak, that's fine. Probably not want to make like a full coat out of it or like a full dress, because that's just asking for trouble, because it's still going to retain some heat. So yes, definitely think about where you live and where you plan to wear that costume, because certain things just do not fit at certain times of the year. That same practicality can also apply to your props and your armors and your wigs, not just in where you live, but the materials that you use and how that affects your costume. And what I mean is, let's say you want to make chainmail for your link costume. It might sound really, really cool to use steel links. Until you get it all done and then you put it on yourself and you realize that it weighs 40 pounds. Chainmail is really, really heavy stuff. If even when you use the plastic rings, they get heavy fast. And if you're not properly bulked up or trained, you're probably going to get exhausted that much sooner. Things are going to not feel as comfortable. You're not going to like as your costume as much because you're just constantly, you know, lugging this heavy thing around with you. It's not fun. And you know, the same thing, like if you make a Rapunzel wig and you decide, I want the whole thing to just be wefts. I don't want anything else inside of it. So it's going to be 100% fake hair. Cool beans. Rapunzel's wig is really, really big. I mean, and I'm talking about just the braided hair version of it. That thing could easily weigh 10 pounds on its own, you know, and you put that thing on your head, you're causing additional strain to your neck and your shoulders, and that's not safe for anybody. The few people that I know who have made that wig with just full-on wefts, what they do is they just kind of sling it over their shoulders and then they keep it there. And then that's it. And it's like, well, you don't get the fun of being able to like flip your braid around, you know, kind of wrap it around you. It kind of has to sit on your shoulder so that you don't cause any additional strain to your neck. And it's not exactly the most practical way of making such a thing. Plus, how do you store that afterwards? It's not something that you can easily like stick into a box or back into a bag. That's got to have its own special display case. Not as great. For that situation, I would definitely think about, you know, planning out in advance how you're going to build these things. And that's everything from, you know, what materials to use, how you're going to transport it, how you're going to store it. Because that's also very important too. And ultimately, those decisions that you make early on will affect the outcome of your costume. You know, for the Rapunzel wig, and this is something that I'm going to be doing in a wig later on, you know, instead of going for full-on fake hair, you can just use poly batting or some type of like light fluffy material, fill like a stocking or some type of meshy fabric, and then glue the hair onto that fabric and have that act as your base. That's going to take away so much weight from your wig. You don't have to worry about it causing you hindrance later on. I think you need to be considerate about when it comes to what type of materials to use for your costume. Historical accuracy. This is not something that a lot of people think about, but it is something to consider. I've seen some really amazing historical accurate versions of Legend of Zelda, Mario, as odd as that sounds. even with like quote unquote fantasy steampunky costumes, you know, historical accuracy is kind of that, you know, nebulous term, but it can be really, really cool when you think about it. You take all that extra time to research and figure out, okay, if this person came from this era, how would they look? What would they wear? Why would they wear it? I've done this before with my Lady Eboshi costume from Princess Mononoke. I really wanted to make that costume historically accurate because pretty much a bulk of that movie was on point with its time period in terms of materials that were used, you know, how the buildings were raised, how people communicated with each other, even the fit of the clothing and how things were pieced together. It all worked. Lady Eboshi's weapons were also historically accurate. Like I looked this stuff up and I was like, wow, that's a real, that gun was real? Interesting. Okay then. So I kept a lot of that in mind when I was researching for materials, and I felt like it made my costume stand out a little bit more because I put in that extra time and effort. It may not be something that people immediately recognize, but I know for me, when I've done the historical accuracy or I see other people do it, they definitely get an extra nod for me because it takes a lot more effort to make sure you get materials that fit the time period for that costume. So the next fun part is where to source your lovely and fun materials. Now, the great thing is that because of the internet and with how popular crafting has gotten over the past 3 years, so much stuff that you can get for cosplay, you can get online now, which is amazeballs. You know, the days of only being able to go to Joann's and Hobby Lobby are over because you can go anywhere online now and find what you need for reasonable prices. You don't have to break the bank and think you got to spend thousands of dollars on a costume. No, you can still keep your budget to $150 or less and get everything that you need. Our wig makers, such as Arta Wigs and Epic Wigs, they're based in the United States. So you get fast shipping. You have really good quality. You know what you're going to get out of it. And even some of the more local cosplay stores, like I know that we've had a couple pop up in Dallas called Cosplay and Charm. One of my favorites to go to is cosplaysupplies.com because they just have a myriad of really random things that can kind of work for whatever you need. They've got wigs, shoes, pre-made props, thermoplastics, beads, adhesives, some makeup supplies. I mean, it is legitimately like a cosplay supply location. I cannot say enough cool things about them. Some of my other favorite places to go to, online fabric store. And they've been steadily adding new inventory over the past couple of months, and you'll find some really fun and unique items. They don't have a whole lot of high-end stuff yet, but I'm hoping that they'll keep expanding their stretch line, like their spandex and their jerseys. But if you do need if you need stretchy fabrics, I definitely recommend Spandex House. They're based in New York, And the shipping time can take a little bit, like give yourself about 2 weeks heads up, 3 weeks if you order samples. And I recommend ordering samples because the colors that they have on their website, the dye lots change frequently. So it's not going to be exactly the same. But otherwise, they're pretty quick. They're efficient. They've got a large inventory. And even on the cheaper end of spandex stuff, it is really good quality. I highly recommend it. If you're looking for something really, really fancy, two places I've gone to is Silk Baron and Hawthorne Threads. They have some really nice silks, velvets, shantungs, and santeens. Much more of the high-end fabric, but for really reasonable prices. You don't feel like you're having to go to the home decor section and break the bank. You get good stuff from them. For randomness that you may need for your armors and your props, there is always Amazon.com. There are some sellers on Amazon that are now selling thermoplastics, which is incredibly convenient. It's about the same as what you would pay on Cosplay Supplies or through Yaya Han's website, but you get the Amazon shipping and the Amazon guarantee with it, which is kind of nice. I actually bought a jumbo roll a couple months ago. Had no problems with shipping. Seller was really fast. Didn't have to pay anything extra for it. It was the same flat rate as if I went through cosplaysupplies.com. It was just happened to be a little bit faster in shipping than some of the other websites, and I would totally do it again. So yeah, but they also have like full sets of costumes there. They've got pre-made props, you know, because you have so many vendors through Amazon now. Knowing that you've got a little bit of a guarantee through Amazon services does make it a little bit better. I've also had good luck with Etsy in that front too for materials that you may need, whether it's threads, thermoplastics, building materials, and whatnot. And then another one I have on the list is always the infamous eBay. I personally have not had good luck with eBay. I find that the quality is not so great, but there are people that I know who swear up and down that eBay is a great resource. You can get some fantastic wigs for super, super cheap. You know, it's just a matter of a hit and miss situation. If it works for you, great. Just personally doesn't work for me, and that's okay. And then my last place that I recommend is if you need any type of paints, and doesn't matter if this is for your props and your armor or your fabric pieces, go to Dharma Trading Company. They have the widest selection of paints I have ever seen out of any company. Like, it puts general hobby stores to shame how much paint they've got available. They've also started expanding to include fabrics too. And I actually bought some fabric from them, a really nice velveteen. It ended up working really, really well. The velveteen was dyeable too. Yeah, as long as I got the right dyes for it, I could dye the whole thing. It was great. So that's a fantastic resource that I highly recommend. That's pretty much all I have as far as what it comes to sourcing the materials. And, you know, in the end of it, it's all about your costume. You make it how you want to make it. You do whatever makes you happy. This is just tips from an old timer who's done this long enough and has learned the value of pre-planning, because it has saved me a lot of money over the years. It has made it much easier for me to figure out what I want and where I should get it. And it's allowed me to really focus on the craftsmanship of the costume and not have to worry about, oh, trying to make this strange suede work for this ball gown because that's not going to work together. Oh my gosh, why? So definitely, definitely I'm a big fan of pre-planning. But I also want to add on to that is that sometimes some of the most amazing things you will see in a cosplay had zero pre-planning involved whatsoever. There was a costume at Anime Fest this year. And when we talked to the cosplayer in question, she told us a little bit about how she made her prop. And this prop was just this huge hammer. It's not quite like a Harley Quinn hammer, but it was pretty close to the size and the scale of it. Everything for this prop she found in her home. She didn't spend a single penny on buying materials for it. She used old broom handles, baby bottles, slinkies. There was a couple of tin cans in there. There was a salt can, like one of the salt canisters, salt shakers. There was cardboard. It was just a myriad of really random things, but it was all put together so well, you could have sworn that she just made the whole thing out of foam and wrapped it in warbler. Like, it was a great, great piece. And it's proof that cosplay has this grand imagination. And really, the only limits are the limits you place on yourself. If you want to make something completely out of cardboard, go for it. That nothing is going to stop you except yourself. So I hope you guys enjoyed that overview on what materials to use for your cosplay, what you should consider when you're planning your stuff out. And with that, we're going to call this episode to a close. Thank you everybody for watching today. Always appreciate it. Be sure to like us, subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow us on our iTunes, follow us on our RSS feed, through our homepage, all that fun stuff. You can also drop us a line at any of our social medias, which is like all over the screen now, like here and here and here. Make sure to sign up for our Discord. We have that up and running now. We're always there to chat, so feel free to drop in a line, talk about cosplay with us. And until then, we shall see you next time. Happy cosplaying, everybody.